Welcome to Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle, coming up on the programme this week.
And that's why one of the worst things about Christmas for me, again, very, very first world problem, the Secret Santa. Because with Secret Santa, you don't know who you're meant to pretend in front of.
You've dismissed that as a that'll do gift, but you've not realised how great it is. Your gut reaction to this gift betrays the true greatness that I have bestowed upon it by giving it to you, even though you're only my half-brother and I only ever see you every once or 6 months.
In an ideal world, I'd have a present room, right? The way I'd do it is that you go, right, presents, go in that room, in the little present room, and then we each take it in turns. Don't have to pull faces and pretend. And then you come out and go, yep, sound, and then the next person goes in, and no one ever mentions. No one ever mentions the present, and you just go, great, get on with it.
And I'll be reminding you how you can make connections with mental health organisations within your community. It's Mental Health Monday.
So it's the home of the UK's conversation on mental health. Welcome to Mental Health Monday as we reach the end of the year 2021. If you're listening to this as it's gone out, you'll know that we're nearly here when it comes to the big day and Christmas. If you're listening at some point in the future, we're recording this at the end of December 2021, where we're hearing all sorts of things about the Omicron variant. And at the moment, it's not particularly good news. But at the same time, we're all trying to go about planning our Christmases and not really being sure what the next few weeks are going to be holding in store. As somebody who's listening in the future to where I am now, fingers crossed everything's working out for yourself and also for me, if I'm absolutely honest, because it's that time of the year, isn't it, where we want everything to run as smoothly as possible. Going to spend a little bit of time on the programme over the next couple of weeks, actually, with Christmas and New Year specials, with friend of the programme, CEO of Chasing the Stigma, the creator of the Hub of Hope, and a good pal of mine, Jake Mills. Jake, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. I've not actually said that to anybody.
It's because we don't see anyone anymore.
That's it. Merry Christmas to you and yours.
We are at that time of the year whereby I think going into Christmas, and we're a week or so away, like Christmas seems to be a very optimistic place, doesn't it? Like we're striving to get there, and the vision we have of it is log fires, even though we don't have a log fire. You know, it's mulled wine, even though we don't really like mulled wine. We'll have one, but it ain't great. You know, it's friends and family who potentially we might not be able to see because of, you know, potentially impending restrictions as well. But the thought of Christmas and the image of Christmas, for me, and I think for a lot of people, gets us over the line at the end of the year.
Yeah, it and that comes with its own problems. But yeah, it is. It's a target, isn't it? It I think for a lot of people as well, and personally speaking, it's almost an excuse to stop. Which again depends on the individual can be a good or a bad thing, but certainly from my perspective right now, you know, getting through this year, it is that excuse to be able to just stop, turn off your computer, turn off your phone, and just relax and be okay with that and giving yourself that permission to do that. And as you said, the reality compared to the expectations is often very different, particularly as somebody and yourself, we're two young children. You know, I think to myself, well, I'm going to be able, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to read. I'm going to read a book. And then in reality, you know that you can't look at a book for more than 2 seconds without, you know, a child climbing on you. But the thought alone is enough to get you through and just that's where I'm at right now is just let's just get there.
It's funny as well, isn't it? Because the only other time of the year we probably do that is I'm guessing our summer holiday, if we've been able to get there, and we come back from our summer holidays and you go, oh, it was amazing, it was great, and it was like, well, what did you do? Nothing. I sat on a beach, I read a book, I went for a swim, I went out for a meal every night, you know. Well, of course you had a good time doing that. Like, I've never tested it, but you could probably do that at home at the same time. Do absolutely nothing. Enjoy, get all the vitamin D you need in the garden if the weather's okay. Go out for a meal. We don't give ourselves those moments. And I feel like to a certain extent, almost as a society, we lurch towards these sort of moments, don't we, of relaxation. Yeah. And I think if it then doesn't go according to plan, there's a huge amount, I think, of disappointment and almost a sometimes a literal, but a metaphorical hangover to that as well. You know, that if Christmas is a disappointment, or if, you know, like, for instance, how much do people drink at Christmas? And everyone associates the first sip of the Prosecco or the first glass of beer, or they don't think about the 14th one 3 days in with, you know, the family round and they're getting a bit leery. And we don't think about that, do we? But actually, those things have consequences too that affect our state of mind through that period.
I think the point that you're making there is, again, about permissions, giving ourselves that permission. If you're at home, you don't necessarily give yourself the permission to stop, because you'll think, I need to paint that wall, need to do that, I need to do the washing, need to do all this stuff. And even, you know, we've gone through a pandemic where we've had to have holidays at home. And I don't know about you, well, I do actually, but my holidays from work at home was, although there's some enjoyment in doing the garden, but it was doing jobs. It was like, right, I'm stopping working to give myself a break, but the break is actually to do jobs, to do things that aren't necessarily enjoying. By going away, you're almost forcing yourself to say, well, I'm away from that environment, so I'm allowed to stop. And I think with Christmas, again, it's that the expectation of what it's going to be. It's this magical time where you can do all this and you can have fun and you can relax and you can play games, you can do all that. The reality is that whole holiday whilst at home, where you'd end up probably more stressed, more anxious, in a worse physical and sometimes mental state as a result of the expectations and the I don't know, feeling like you've got to have a perfect Christmas, which, let's be honest, who's ever had a perfect Christmas? Who's ever had that ideal vision of a Christmas? Because I know I certainly haven't.
Well, there was one man, as far as I could tell, and that was George Michael. And what happened to him? The very next day.
Yeah.
The very next day, she gave it away.
Boxing Day. Didn't even wait till the 27th. Boxing Day. That's harsh, isn't it?
I like, this is a strange thing to say. This is a strange question to ask. Do I actually prefer Boxing Day to Christmas Day? Because essentially Boxing Day is the same day as Christmas Day, but all of those potential sort of flashpoints, things that could go wrong, bits where you've got to be on it, actually don't exist, but the food's still there. The gifts are still there. But the permissions you can give yourself can be much more relaxed, I think, on Boxing Day, because you think, right, I've done it now. I've done Christmas. I think I do enjoy, not necessarily more, but I'm glad that it's there. It's like a little sort of respite from Christmas, which I enjoy at the same time. But if Boxing Day wasn't there, you'd be like, that was a little bit full on. It wasn't exactly the most relaxing day in the world.
No, I think Boxing Day is, it's still Christmas. Whereas, like, you know, 27, 28, 29, that you go, oh, that's gone. Now, Boxing Day is still Christmas. And I agree, there's less pressure. Also, I might have mentioned this to you before, but this might sound you know, it's first world problems, absolutely is. But something that I am very uncomfortable with is opening presents in front of people. I don't like it. And in an ideal world, I'd have a present room, right? The way I'd do it is that you go, right, presents, go in that room, in the little present room, and then we each take it in turns, go in, open your presents, and then you open your presents on your own. Don't have to pull faces and pretend. And then you come out and go, yep, sound, and then the next person goes in, and no one ever mentions no one ever mentions the present, and you just go, great, get on with it. And I think Boxing Day is a little bit like the present room, where you can be a little bit more honest about how you feel about everything.
Boxing Day is the day where you look at stuff and you go, what is this?
And you look at it and
who's this from? Like, why did they think I wanted this?
And then you realize it's a present you bought for somebody else in absolute panic.
But there's part of that. Do you not think part of it though is the fact that although giving a gift is a selfless act, there's an element of there's a selfishness to it that you want to see them respond positively, don't they? You want when you pick up that gift off a shelf and you pay your money, you do it with in mind that when you open it, you have a moment and then you go, I knew that was the right thing to do. But what you're saying is you don't want people to have that moment. You want to go, excuse me, I'm just going to go into the shed here. I'll come out and then I'll fix my face in a certain way.
I think a present shared is fine. It's not so much that I don't want them to have that moment. It's more that as a very socially anxious and awkward person, I want that moment to be as you know what they want. I don't know if I can deliver. So I'd rather take it away completely.
But I wonder whether or not you've developed that over that particular issue. You developed that anxiety over years and years and years of just getting absolute garbage to the point where now you kind of know the auntie who gets you the Lynx Africa. And it's that, oh, well, I will use Nivea or Dove body spray. Yes.
Yeah.
But what is the honest response you want me to give? Like, do you want me to say I love it? Because it's great and it's fine. But I think often gifts can be very whelming, can't they? They're not underwhelming, but you're not overwhelmed by it. You're just whelmed by it. It's just yes, you offered me a gift and it's nice that you've done that.
Well, my birthday was a week ago, just over a week ago. And my auntie got me a present. Which she wasn't there when I opened it, and it was a barbecue set.
Was that because you were in a shed at the time?
It's because I told her she was in the living room. She said, "Wait outside, and I'll go." And it's a barbecue set, which is a lovely gift.
Great.
Not for the fifth December, but a nice gift all the same. It was a whelming gift where I was like, "Okay, I don't know how to react to this," and that's why one of the worst things about Christmas for me, again. Very, very first world problem, the Secret Santa. Because with Secret Santa, you don't know who you're meant to pretend in front of. So you're now in a room with a number of people, particularly if you're in a Tory party, a lot of people in a room doing Secret Santa. And what you have to do is you have to pretend to every single person in that room because you don't know who got you this really disappointing gift. So you now have to pretend to every single person. It's genuinely like I am making a joke of it, but I absolutely cannot stand those moments. I hate them because I just feel like there's so much pressure on it. So yeah, there we go.
There's I think there's the thing as well about gifts. How many gifts that you buy at this time of year are gifts where you go, perfect. I've got right. Yeah. And how many gifts that you buy are, at best, that'll do? Because I think we are a nation of that'll doers. Like, I need to get something for someone, and this'll do. And, like, they're not, you don't look at something and then go, oh, or you don't think, oh, remember when we went, you know, for that weekend away and they said they always needed a such and such a thing. And I found like a handcrafted version in a Parisian market. You know, something that'll go, oh, this is amazing. This is exactly the thing. Instead, you go for the that'll do. And you kind of go, that's tick to box, which on my list says I need to get that person a gift. I think we do it. And I don't think that's necessarily wrong with that. Because I think if you had to invest emotionally into every gift, like you literally wouldn't have any emotions left. But I think that's almost, I think, where we are with gifts at the moment, gift giving. It gets to the point where you get to the that'll do's because you're just thinking, right, crank them up. Crank them up and let them out. Come on, get them wrapped and get them given.
I'm there right now, to be honest with you.
I think most people are.
And I, every year, I think, I need to know what I'm going to like pay attention. I'm going to write notes down to what they want and stuff. But then what I do is I then like double down on the that'll do gift and try to make the that'll do gift seem like a more than a that'll do gift. So when you give a that'll do gift, and often the reaction is, oh, that's good. And then you put it down. I mean, well, just pick it up again because have a look actually what it does. And then I try to really ham up how good that gift was, but it was just a that'll do gift. And what I'm doing there is the exact same thing that I hate other people doing. But sometimes you've got to almost justify that I'll do gift.
Yeah, because that's the thing of saying you've dismissed that as a that'll do gift, but mm-hmm. you've not realized how great it is. Your gut reaction to this gift betrays the true greatness that I have bestowed upon it by giving it to you, even though you're only my half brother and I only ever see you every once or 6 months. But at this moment, now I'm going to tell you why you're wrong.
It's absolutely a that'll do, but I don't want you to react to it as a that'll do gift.
There's often sort of stats that come out around this time about phone calls that go in to organizations like Samaritans. And I'm sure you see it with the Hub of Hope, Childline, the same, that through that month of December, those stats around anxiety and depression, they're right up there, like peaks that happen in that Christmas period. And I wonder whether or not actually there's this sort of presentation of what Christmas is, or what you're supposed to think it is, and a disengagement from a lot of people who don't feel that sense of warmth, or don't have, you know, a collective bank of great Christmases to lean back on to think, oh yeah, this is when all these great things happen. Equally, you know, the isolation and loneliness always comes up at this time of year, because there's an assumption that, and you know, I grew up in a Catholic family with not literally hundreds, but you know, I've got 27 cousins, I think, you know, so with aunties and uncles, and I've had, you know, for a long time, all my grandparents, or most of my grandparents were around, just grandma's around now. But there was always that huge family sense. And I just presumed growing up that everyone's Christmas was a bit like that, that the auntie would come round in the afternoon, then you'd pop round to such and somebody else. I've got friends now who will see their mum and dad, as an only child, will go and see their mum and dad. There's no aunties and uncles come. There's no... you know, there's no other siblings, and they will sit and they'll have a meal in the same way they'll have a meal, you know, on Easter Sunday or on their birthday. And you think, oh yeah, it's because everyone's life is different. So this idea that Christmas will be the same and mean the same to everybody is wrong right from the off, isn't it? But I think we have this perception, and it comes from TV adverts, doesn't it? It comes from visions of what Christmas looks like. The reality, and this doesn't have to be good or bad, can be very different for many different people. But we also need a sense of understanding, don't we, that for a lot of people, if it isn't that, we don't want them to feel like that's wrong, or that they are isolated as a result, or that they can't engage in what Christmas can be about, if it's a Christmas that works for them. And those stats, they just seem to show, don't they, that actually there is a disengagement between what Christmas could be and how people actually genuinely feel about it.
Yeah, I think we talk a lot these days about, like, you know, Instagram or social media in general, compared to reality, and, you know, how you'd only show your best self, and these unhelpful expectations of a perfect life or a perfect Christmas. If you think about Christmas in general, for those who celebrate it, a lot of people who don't. And if you think of that perfect Christmas, which, as you said, is in Christmas films and adverts and stuff, and it's about families together, it's about lots of presents, it's about lots of food. If you think about people who don't have a family or are bereaved and have lost somebody, people in poverty, people who can't afford to even feed the kids, never mind buying presents and all these expectations, Christmas can be an extremely difficult time for a lot of people who feel like, and a lot of people do, put themselves in a place of very often debt, and in a really unhelpful position, maybe overworking and putting themselves in a really difficult situation in order to meet these false expectations. And let's be honest as well, is that just because you have loads of food and loads of presents doesn't mean that Christmas is good. It doesn't mean that Christmas is even enjoyable. But it is these expectations that I'll be honest, I think a lot of people, myself included, are guilty of trying to aspire to this expectation. You know, we're at the stage now where we're looking at the gifts that we've got the kids, and we're thinking, oh, is it enough? And it absolutely is enough. It absolutely is enough. But we still think that, because we think, you know, my kids are 6 and 2. it's absolutely enough what they have. And I don't know what it is inside us and in our minds that we have to get more, because why? What? That's what they expect. They're going to be happy. And so, as I say, you've got to look at what this is for everybody. Everybody is an individual. And as I said, it's people who are bereaved. There's people who are isolated, who are lonely. There's people in debt. There's people in all kinds of different situations. And it is different for everybody. There's people who absolutely dread this time of year. And so it's often called the most wonderful time of the year, but it's not for everybody. And I think it's being aware of that, and it's being kind of kind to people and not trying to portray this ideal life, because let's be honest, we don't have it. None of us do.
Yeah. And I think it can come with a hangover, can't it? That often people talk about, you know, the months of January and February, and you know, it's cold and it's dark and people don't feel great. But if at the same time you're also thinking, how are we going to pay for everything that happened in December, then that can add people's problems. That means that actually your problems don't then just involve getting through Christmas Day. Your problems can, you know, throw a load of cash at the problem, and you've got the Christmas Day you thought you wanted, but actually January, February, March then becomes problematic. I almost think it'd be so much easier if you just didn't do Christmas, or you weren't interested in Christmas. You could, Christmas Day, you could head out and about, your place would be quiet, you'd go for nice long walks. And you, it's when I think Christmas, you try and make Christmas mean something, or you try and force a Christmas that you think or expect, that it blurs the line, doesn't it, between expectation and reality. And you can do a thrifty Christmas. You can do Christmas on the cheap. You can do Christmas organic or Christmas homemade and all of those things. But then you exist in a world where not everyone's doing that. So then you're the weird family who didn't do Christmas properly, or you're the family who didn't get the iPhones and stuff. And on the day, you didn't wake up going, I didn't get an iPhone. But maybe when your kids go back to school, they've still got their old phone, which has got a crack in the screen. And then suddenly all the other kids have got iPhone. It creates this thing, doesn't it, where Christmas actually is a problem, or has become a problem, which it doesn't need to be.
No, absolutely. And there's a whole host of examples, because even like if you think about what we've talked about, I think we've said already, Christmas about food, it's about drink, it's about all this thing. What about those with eating disorders? What about those who with addiction and alcohol dependency? What about people who rely on a routine, who suddenly that routine is gone because everyone closes down for Christmas? There's a lot of different examples there of why this can be such a difficult time for people. And I think what I've learned over the years, as a person, as a dad, but importantly as somebody who's working within mental health now, is that it's so important just to be comfortable this time of year. And by that, what I mean is you don't have to live up to other people's expectations of Christmas or just generally. You need to make Christmas what it is for you. And you know what? If that is just that Christmas Day is just Saturday, then absolutely just have a Saturday. Have a nice Saturday. Make your Saturday the best Saturday you've had in the year. Or make it just a day when you watch films and don't leave bed. That is absolutely fine. And I know it's easier said than done because of the expectations of others and possibly family members and people around you who maybe are putting that pressure on you. But make Christmas or Saturday, whatever it is that you want it to be, what's going to be the best thing for you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think it's great that to do your own thing, because, I mean, it even happens with that. Oh, man, this is so tedious even mentioning it. But, like, is Die Hard a Christmas film? Like, it don't matter. It's like it's a film that's on at Christmas or it's not at Christmas. Like, it doesn't matter. But I think we almost have this thing, don't we, where there's an image of Christmas and, like, everyone has to have their, like, people will go, what do you mean you don't have Yorkshire puddings on your Christmas dinner? It's like, no. And it's like, oh, aren't everyone's Christmases exactly the same? Like, well, actually, no, they don't have to be. I quite like that. You don't answer either of those questions about whether or not it's right to have Yorkshire puddings on your Christmas dinner or if Die Hard is a Christmas film. It's entirely up to you. Keep your opinions to yourself. You don't even need to share them. But I think we need to be mindful of that, and this comes back to the me time. You know, what do I want this to be for me? And how am I going to sort of work my way through this situation for good and for bad as well?
Yeah, and I think there's an element of honesty, which can take a great amount of courage to have honesty with people who are close to you. But I think if you're honest with yourself and you're trying to be honest with people to say, I don't want to do that, or you know, I want to just have time on my own. And you know, if you are having to go to family members' house or you're having to be around people and it's a bit much, then schedule in time for yourself. You know that there's often a lull, isn't there? In Christmas, when maybe after dinner or you know, there's a certain time when everyone may just kind of have a little snooze or just sit down. Take that time to be on your own, to go for a walk, to go out and just do what you need to do. So even if you have to go and be around other people, even if you don't want to, schedule something for yourself. Try to have that time for yourself because it's so important. It can be so overwhelming. And I think if you can have that honesty, it's really important to do that.
Absolutely. In next week's, in fact, there'll be 2 weeks' time of the episode for the new year. We'll talk about the year of chasing the stigma and the hub of hope as well. But just to wrap up the Christmas special, I just wanted to mention a tradition which I cannot in any way, shape or form understand or believe that I will ever buy into. And it's only something which I think has emerged in the last sort of 4 or 5 years, but it may have been going on longer and I've just been blind to it. And that's when you know, you see the advert for the Boxing Day sale that starts at 5 a.m. Yeah. on Boxing Day. And then, like, you catch the news at 10 o'clock at night on Boxing Day or whatever, and there's, like, a report. And it's people who must have, like, cut short Christmas Day. They must have got to, like, 7:30 on Christmas Day and gone, right, sorry, family, sorry, gifts, sorry, Mrs. Brown and her boys. I've got capitalism to deal with it. Like I've got, I don't know how badly you need the thing in the shop that's, but you think, right, I'm going to set the alarm for 4:15. Maybe I'm going to get to this retail park or high street. And it's fine. And I understand that sometimes people want to, you know, get the bargains that are one chance to get it. But that idea of cutting short something as not sacrosanct as Christmas Day, but a one day where you kind of go, it's Christmas Day and Boxing Day, bank holidays. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to go in. But there you go. No, my choice, the thing I want to do is that. And I just think that is commitment to wanting to spend money.
Does that still happen? Does that still happen now? Or do you think the internet is killing the camp into queue? Well, you know, maybe that if that's what someone wants to do, maybe they'd make it part of the tradition that they take maybe they have the Christmas pud outside Curry's. Maybe that's what they do.
But the thing is as well, the shops, they know that demand is there. So they're going, let's just open even earlier.
Yeah, let's do 4 o'clock this year.
Let's just
stay up.
But there's obviously a sense that's like a thing. And I just think, just stay. Like, if there's a couple of days where you can surely stay in bed or even just have a movie day or whatever, it's Christmas Day or Boxing Day. But those people.
No one slags you off for having Yorkshire pudding on your Christmas dinner. But maybe they do.
No, exactly. And actually, that's something I've never, ever done. But somebody once said to me they had that. And I was like, oh, that's not something that we've done. Yorkshire puddings. They were from Yorkshire, right? So and then I thought, well, that just makes sense that they're from Yorkshire. But like sometimes people are sniffy about it. Somebody told me once that you could have cheese with Christmas cake. And I was like, that sounds weird. Tasted like the best thing ever. Now, whenever we've got Christmas cake, big slice of mature cheddar on it. It tastes.
Do you like a Christmas cake?
You know, like Christmas cake, like a fruity Christmas cake.
Like a fruit loaf type of thing.
Yeah. Like a traditional Christmas cake with like mature cheddar. My mouth's watering just thinking about it. It tastes absolutely amazing. But again, it's a thing you'd go, I've never done that. And all Christmases have to be the same. So I will never try it. Give it a go. Next year, you'll be like, right, where's my Snowdon black cheese? And I'm going to go for some of that.
Next year, you're going to be queuing in a tent to buy a cheap telly.
I don't know. I'm going to present you with that TV. You're going to go into your present shed. You're going to open it. You're going to come back in with a big grin on your face and a big platter of cheese and Christmas cake.
Yeah, sounds ideal.
Jake Mills from Chasing the Stigma. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas
to you. And a Happy New Year. We'll catch you for the New Year special.
Thank you very much.
I hope you've enjoyed this week's podcast. Thanks for checking out Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Mick Coyle. You can also find me, Mick Coyle, on Facebook as well. Don't forget, if you want to speak to somebody about your mental health, you can do so. The Samaritans, free to call on 116 123. You can find mental health services where you are. Just look for the Hub of Hope. Type in your postcode. It'll find those mental health services close to you. And for support in a crisis, you can text SHOUT to 85258. That's if you're experiencing a personal crisis, you're unable to cope and need support. Shout to 85258. That's a text line. Do get involved in those services. In an absolute emergency, always remember the number to call is 999.